When I was going through the reading and looking at Luke chapters 11 through 15, one thing that stands out to me with Jesus' teaching, Jesus is not shy about warning. And that might be something we need to do more of. Warning others. Warning ourselves. A lot of things I think have come to mind have been very relevant lately. The things that people can do, the excuses that individuals can make. I just want to warn them. There's going to be a day when you can't make excuses anymore. One of those warnings that Jesus brings out here, he says, few are saved. He says, the way is narrow, the door is narrow. Now, many go the broad way, but the way to life is narrow, and it's hard, and it's difficult. And I know I'd like to be able to say, oh, everybody's going to be fine. Everybody's going to find their way. As long as you're a good person, good people go to heaven. I'd like to believe that. But what I have to believe is Jesus. And I have to believe God. And I have to believe the book that Jesus quoted from and relied on and handed to us, the Bible and the Scriptures. And I can't go anywhere else. And I know what Jesus says. He says, few are saved. And that's a warning. So I hope we think about that tonight. You know, one of those parables Jesus told to counter coveting. You remember that? The foolish man who was rich and wealthy, and he had brought in a lot of his wealth and his farm, and he built, tore down his old barns and built new ones. And he says this to himself. He says to himself, soul, life, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And a lot of people work for that. They work their whole life to accumulate, to get to the point where they can retire. And that's a goal of some people, is I'm going to make enough money I can retire when I'm 30. I mean when I'm 40. Or when I'm 50. Before I'm 80. And so you think like that. And maybe you get to that point one day where you work so hard and you retire and you can sit back and relax. How would God respond if you spent your whole life of getting to that point and that's what you spent your time doing? This is how he responds, Jesus tells us. He responds to this foolish man who has granted himself relaxation and comfort to retire. But you can't retire from God and storing up wealth with him. That's who we want to be looking for. But this is God's response. God says, fool, this night your soul is required of you. You're telling your soul to relax. God is saying, no, you're foolish. This night your soul is required of you and the things you have prepared. Whose will they be? Think about that. That's true. All the things we accumulate, the things we get, the things that we work for, the day you save up to buy that one thing, you may die in your sleep. What happens? So the things that you prepare, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to be rich toward God. I have to live in a shack for the rest of my life. Walk everywhere. Live in poverty, I'll take that. I want to be rich toward God. But God says, seek first the kingdom, and I'll give you what you need, your clothes, your food. God says he'll take care of us. If we would seek him first, he'll bless us. He says that over and over again. And this is a tragedy for many who are wealthy in this life. Paul warns in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, you need to be content with what you have. God has given, he says to the wealthy, God's given you your wealth for your enjoyment. You can enjoy it. But you also need to be sharing it and giving it. But it's a tragedy for people to save up, work for these things, and for what? You lose it all at once. You lose your life all at once. I don't want to be that person where God says, you fool. Look what you've done. But this comes again to those the things we do in our life, and it comes to the point where, again, Jesus is making warnings. He said, don't do this. Don't spend your life this way. I got a sermon I'm looking at that I want to do in 2 weeks from now. And it's based off the book of Ecclesiastes. What you can get out of life. A lot of people work for different things. They put their priorities on different things. And Solomon says, you know, I had everything. But here are the things that you can enjoy in life that really have value in the end. And then, of course, he brings it, the most value, back to God. And so I see that in Christ. As I'm reading through the Gospel of Luke, I also think about this. You know, people think that they can clean up the world. They can't clean their own rooms. They can't make up their own beds. They think, hey, let's clean up the environment. Let's vote and put somebody into government who's going to fix all these problems. And, well, they may be sincere. And, yes, I believe the Bible teaches us to be good stewards of God's creation. But if you can't clean your own room, how do you expect to make any difference in cleaning up the world? How are you going to make any difference in your life? I think that's something to think about. And so one of the things that stood out, and that came to mind when I was reading through and going through our readings in Luke chapter 11, we read this very interesting account from Jesus. He says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And notice that. This person has an evil spirit. Spirit goes out. Spirit doesn't like to, the spirit prefers to be in deserted, waterless places. In contrast to that is water, where when we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, the exact opposite. But anyways, the unclean person goes out, finding none. It says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. So this person no longer has this affliction, whether it's some kind of addiction or whatever sin it might be. That's what Jesus is hinting at here. They clean their house. They get things in order. They're clean on the inside, but they haven't put anything good on the inside. They haven't put God's word. They haven't put obedience. They haven't put they haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to fill them. So then it says here, then it, that spirit, goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So you can do that. You can say, I'm going to clean house. I'm going to get things in order. But if you don't fill yourself with the good stuff, Jesus warns us again. Warnings. It's just going to go back the way that it was. Christ goes on here and he teaches that he is the strong man. He has power over Satan to cast out demons. We see that here in Luke chapter 11. He gives this parable and illustration that the strong man is able to take the goods from another who's weaker by first binding him. And his point is that he has the power over these demons. So these evil things, these things that we face, so trust in him. Jesus says here in Luke 11, verse 20, but it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Without obedience to God, this internal distress and conflict with temptations of evil will keep on coming back to you. Another thing that Jesus warns about is the things that we say. The things that we do in private rooms, the things that we say behind other people's backs, the things we shouldn't be saying and telling others. Whatever we say and we try to hide in the dark, it will come to light. Listen to what Christ says. Luke 12, verses 1 through 3. He says, beware. There it is again, a warning. Christ is constantly warning. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. If you back up a little bit there into Luke chapter 11, you see those warnings against this hypocrisy from the lawyers and the Pharisees. He says, nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Is that a scary thought? The things that you've said, the things that you've done will be revealed. He says, for those in hypocrisy, they will be. He says, therefore, whatever you have said in the dark, it shall be heard in the light. And whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. There's some things I wish I'd never said. And I hope that people would not have heard the things that I've said. I'm going to take them back. You know, James warns us about how unruly the tongue is. I'm going to be careful about what we say. I keep listening. I keep reading here about what Jesus is saying. And he goes down in verses 4 and 5. And he says this, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do, but I will warn you whom to fear. Notice again, a warning. Who do you fear? Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Will fear change us? You know, fear can be a good thing if we're living in sin and hypocrisy. It helps us to change, helps us to repent. There are a lot of people who don't want that fear. But you remember Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, that proverb says, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge is to fear the Lord, to fear God. Do you fear him? Do you revere him? So I see that teaching in Christ. Jesus continues to warn. These things that we've read about here, we've looked at hypocrisy and the things that we say, being prepared, being ready, not making excuse, not coveting, not putting our priorities on wealth. He continues to warn us. And he wants us to be ready for the day when he comes, when the Lord comes. So Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 12, 35 to 37. He says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Keep the lights on at night. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. Be ready for when the Lord comes back. Don't waste your life now. Don't live in sin now, saying someday I can repent. You don't know. He's warning. He says, be like those who are waiting for the master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once. And when he comes and knocks, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. That's an amazing thought. Think about the master coming, and then even to serve us, that would be just humbling. Are you ready? We want to constantly be ready for the Lord. We see this as well. Further warnings. What will happen to those who aren't ready when the master comes? Luke 12, 45 to 46. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming. And I always thought this was a strange illustration. It was very striking to me because Jesus says, this is what happens with that servant. My master's delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants. You know, right there, you're already thinking about, wow, this guy's, he's low down. He's the worst they get, you know, that kind of man who takes advantage of others. He says he begins to eat and drink as though, oh, he's not coming. He gets drunk. The master of that servant will come in a day in which he does not expect, in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Now, you know, masters don't usually just show up and find they have someone who's abusing the other servants and just cuts them in pieces. That's not the way it works. But Christ is making a point here. He's saying, listen, this is what's going to happen. The end result of living this kind of riotous life and abusing others is going to be condemnation. It's going to be hell. And Christ is always warning about hell, and this is just another illustration of it. And then I love this parable, Luke 12, 57 to 59. Where Jesus says, and why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? And here he says, make things right. And we see this in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, if you're traveling and you're going to offer sacrifice, or you're someone has something against you and they're going to take you to court, go on and you go on and make sure that things are right with them before you go and worship. That's in Matthew chapter 5. We see something similar here because Jesus says, as you go with your accuser before the magistrate, on your way, when you've been called to go to court to be judged, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. And I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, get things right with your judge, with your accuser. Get things right with God. It's another warning to make sure that your life is in place. I hope that you're seeing the point here. Few are saved. Jesus continually taught that throughout his ministry. And most people think they're saved, but Jesus says, few are. Many go the broad way and will be lost. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. I want you to look at this. Luke chapter 13. This is going to be our exposition tonight before we wrap up. As I've been going through, I was looking at a number of things through the Gospel of Luke that are a great warning to us. Things that help us to reflect. And I hope that you'll go through and do that reading. Make sure you read through Luke 11 through 15. Well, let's read here, Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. He went on his way through the towns and the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. You think about that. Don't you see that today? There are a lot of people trying to enter, but they're not able. Why is that? Verse 25, once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. Now here they are, they've been listening to Jesus. They've been listening to God, but they haven't been doing. They've been doing wickedly. They've been acting as the hypocrite. They've been ignoring the warnings. Verse 28. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There again, Jesus always teaching and reminding, warning of hell. He says, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out, and people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Think about those things that Jesus is saying here. First of all, it's a narrow way. There's only one way. And you can't just say, well, I believe in God, and I heard Jesus talk, and I call him Lord, Lord, and think that you're right with him. That doesn't make you right. You've got to be obedient. Many will try to enter, and they will not. The Lord will close the door at some point where you can't enter anymore. You won't have that chance anymore. Christ is warning us. Jesus reveals there will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those will be cast out of the kingdom, and people will come from many nations, though. And some will have a part in that kingdom. They're going to be able to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with the prophets. They're going to be able to eat at the same table and be a part of that same feast, that eternal life that God promises us. And one thing that stands out as I read through Luke is Christ is always warning. He's telling people, beware, woe to you when you do this. Come to God now. Don't waste any time. Even if you are in the presence of the Lord, does this not mean that the Lord knows you? That's a striking thing there. These people could come to God and speak to him, and the Lord say, I don't know you. Oh, but we ate with you. I don't know you. But you taught us. I don't know you. Those are very striking words. Every time I read them, I think I would hate to be able to come to that last day and stand before Christ and for the Lord to say, I don't know you. And these are people, again, that were listening, that were present, but weren't really obedient, who kept living in hypocrisy, kept trying to hide things behind closed doors and in darkness. I encourage you tonight, what will you do with the warnings of Christ? Will you warn others? I think it's good for us to do that. I want to share this last passage with you from Luke chapter 13. Here, Jesus has been teaching, and people come up and say, look at these events, look at the things that have just been going on, and asking Jesus to respond to them. Luke chapter 13, 1 through 5. I'm going to start in verse 2. It says, do you think that these Galileans, they were told of the Galileans that Pontius Pilate had killed, were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. There it is, the warning again. People have always focused on somebody else. There's somebody more evil than I who's endured other things. I'm not like them. I'm better than this person. Jesus says, no, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Because that's what's going on here. This is the old excuse where people say, I'm better than other people, therefore I'm okay. Jesus says, no, you need to perish. He says, or the 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But what perish? We're all going to die. This is the death. This is hell. This is the separation eternally from God. Christ is always warning. Let's listen to the warnings of Jesus. Listen to his words. He warns us so that we'll repent, so we'll take these things to heart. I encourage you tonight, do what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. He says, you got to lose yourself to be saved. He gives a picture of the gospel. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to lose your life. You need to confess your faith. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized and live in the newness of life. You need prayers. You've been struggling in this. We want to encourage you. You can come now while we sing together.